Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and back with me in the studio today is Leanne Broussard with Autumn Leaf Productions and John Smith with the Boogie Kings to talk about more of their journey as the band and the instruments and the process and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so if you didn't get to listen to the first episode, which was back in February on the 11th, you will, and you want to listen to that, go to the website, krbs.org, and pull up the, you can click down on the listen on demand and pull up the show Je Savais Pas, and then click on the date, the February 11th. And then that should pull up the show for you to listen to. So anyway, thank you, Leanne and John, for being back in the studio to share some more about your journey and your adventures and
you.
Share your songs.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Esther.
Absolutely. So the last episode, you kind of talked about how the band got started and kind of your journey as a saxophone player, and we played a couple songs off of one of the first CDs. So let's talk a little bit about, as a band, when you got into the studio, well, actually, probably before that, how you picked the songs, and then what was the process of figuring out who was going to play where, when, and who was going to sing how and why, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. X, Y, and Z equals this.
Well, basically, you know, we, back in the day, in order to be somewhat successful, we had to play music that people were used to listening to on the radio. And so we listened to the radio a lot. A whole lot more than I do nowadays.
Okay.
And with that being said, you know, we usually took the top 10, top 20 songs that were being aired. We'd go to the Billboard charts, and that was obviously the songs that people were listening to, because top 10 all the way to the top 20 is what they were slamming on the radio every day.
Right.
So we picked those tunes. And as far as the style that we played them in, we tried to play those tunes as close and learn those tunes as close to the recording as we could.
Okay.
But again, with that being said, everybody has their own fingerprint. You know what I'm saying? So even though we tried to do it as close to the record as we could, we still had our own little interpretation of individuals and together as a group. I just guess out of what human nature, just kind of the way we expressed it.
Right. You know? I like what you were, the analogy you use as we were kind of getting ready to set up the show, how we all walk, but everybody walks differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a neat reference point for understanding that we, you know, you can have five bands all play the same song. It's going to sound different because of just their background and how they hear and how they play.
Exactly. And, you know, the singers, we basically had, back in the day, there was a point in time when the Boogie Kings had three or four singers on stage that performed and played. I mean, we had Gigi Shin, Jerry LaCroix, Tommy McLean, Gary Walker, all at the same time on the bandstand. So there was plenty enough songs for everybody to sing, and we pretty much let the guys, you know, as singers, well, I want to sing this tune. So we'd okay, go, you sing that one. And we'd let them pick the tunes they wanted to sing. And we went into rehearsal and left the songs.
Okay.
And then, you know, we'd play our, do our format at night. And if we had requests, you know, and people came up, we'd you know, get a little sidetracked of what we were doing and play a request and then get back to the song list.
So then when y'all went into the recording studio, talk about that process a little bit.
Well, basically, it was the same thing. You know, we had pre-production, post-production. If I was involved in producing, I would just gather the material that we were going to do. And pretty much everybody knew the songs already and performed the songs because we were doing them live on shows. So all we really did was go into the studio and just start recording.
Okay.
And because there was no rehearsal in the studio, we had played the tunes 100 times on gigs.
Yeah.
So we just went in and decided we're going to do 10 covers. We very rarely ever recorded original material. In fact, we did a few original songs. They were on the Swamp Boogie Blues CD, which was done later on in years in the 90s.
Okay.
But we didn't. I didn't bring those today, so.
Okay. But somebody would, you know, be able to reach out and find that. Who wrote the songs?
Well, the people that originally recorded the tunes.
No, like you said, the originals. Like who wrote
the original tunes were written by Ned Theall. He was my partner in the 90s, and mm-hmm. Ned actually ran the band for probably over 20 years, 25 years. But Ned wrote the original tunes that were recorded. And I think one of them was I love that swamp pop music.
Mm-hmm.
It mentioned all the old swamp pop singers, Warren Storm, Tommy McLean, everybody's names were mentioned in the song.
Wow.
So it was quite a successful. We recorded that album with Gen Records out of Ville Platte, Floyd mm-hmm. Swallow. And probably one of the more successful CDs that we recorded over the years. I would say it probably sold more copies than any one of the CDs, which was Swamp Boogie Blues was the title of the CD.
Did you find that the originals had a different format in rehearsing, recording, and a vibe than picking a cover and working out your
own fingerprint
for that one?
Yeah, I think all original material is a little more satisfying because it's something that you written yourself, comes from your own mm-hmm. thoughts and heart, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, as far as original material, I personally love writing and recording stuff. Doing covers is it's not a big challenge, you know. It's already laid out for you.
Right.
All you have to do is learn the tune and perform it, you know. But writing a tune is another whole ball of wax.
So did you find that the original key that the song was written in worked for the band, or did you have to, some songs, did you have to rewrite? Well, not rewrite it. You have to modulate.
No, you know.
Or figure out a different key that would work.
When we did the Swamp Boogie Blues album, it was basically boogie music, blues music, and swamp pop music all kind of rolled up in one.
Okay.
And so we tried to, you know, target a certain style.
Mm-hmm.
Which we did. So,
we have a song queued up. So, give us an intro to that song.
Actually, yes, we do. We have I think what we're going to do right
12.
Now. Yeah, Parker James, the young man that's been singing with the Boogie Kings for the past 25 years. He's been with us through thick and thin,
uh-huh.
and is probably one of the greatest vocalist I've ever heard. I've played with a lot of folks in my lifetime and been all over the world, and I played with a lot of great vocalists, and Parker is
mm-hmm.
probably Louisiana's best-kept secret, not just in Louisiana, but in far as the world, far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
He is, we're going to feature him right now, I think, on You Got Me Humming.
All right, let's have a listen.
My cold nights hot. How the wind just blow right through me.
Yeah, that's I have a hard time into that song too. nicely done. I can see why it would be a popular song and get people out dancing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. So talk a little bit more about the singer. I mean, you said before that we started this episode that you wanted to kind of talk about him and his part in the band.
Well, he's a big part of the band. And he's been with us for 25 years. He was he came on the band when he was 17 years old. We were playing in Marksville, Louisiana at the casino. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like Gigi Shim was kind of like his mentor.
Wow.
And he's a fine young fellow. He's really got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. I'd like to also mention the guys that are in the band right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Please
We got one of the, well, most everybody is, you know, the Boogie Kings has had probably over 100 musicians perform with it in the last over the last 60 years.
Wow.
But we still have some, most of the guys are all original players.
Uh-huh.
We have Parker James on lead vocals.
Okay.
We also have Ronnie Crowley on drums, who is a very dear friend of mine. And also, while I'm mentioning Ronnie's name, he's also the new commander for the Order of the Purple Hearts in the state of Louisiana. And we also have Bubba Boudreaux on keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Richard plays guitar with us. And sometimes we have Tony Gula also plays guitar with us and performs as a vocalist with the Boogie Kings.
Okay.
We have Mr. Mike Pollard, who is an original saxophone player with the Boogie Kings.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Tommy Robin, who was also original. Everybody that I named was original guys with the Boogie Kings.
Wow.
And myself, mm-hmm. of course. And, you know, we try to keep it pretty much true to form. From time to time, I have to use a few subs, but they all wind up being Boogie Kings because I don't know too many musicians in Louisiana that has not performed with the Boogie Kings at one time or another.
Uh-huh. Okay. So in the journey as the band over the past 60 years, like what have you noticed as far as the improvement in communication and camaraderie and playing together and like how you've grown together as a group musically and just connecting? And
boy, that's a tough
nut to crack.
Yeah, really, because, you know, having over 100 guys playing a band and I wasn't around all the time,
uh-huh.
that's a hard one to answer. I do know this, that most everybody that was in the band, and it seems like whoever ran the band at the time, because, you know, we had 4 or 5 different band leaders.
Okay.
They all seemed to have kept true to the music they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Kept the format the same, kept the show the same. And, you know, the big thing about the Boogie Kings is we always showed up dressed fit to kill.
Mm-hmm.
The music was great. We kept the dance floor packed. And, boy, we're going to be dressed to kill from now on out because the folks from MAP Records have been so gracious as to go out and make sure that we've gotten all of our beautiful gold lamé jackets like we had back in the 60s. So this show coming up in Silsby on February the 15th. If there's any of you folks listening, if there's any of you folks listening, show up. We're gonna look great, and we're gonna sound wonderful.
There you go. So then, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas, and I'm your host Esther Tyree, and in the studio is Leanne Broussard with Autumn Lee Productions and John Smith with the Boogie Kings. So maybe just focused in on your growth as a musician playing the saxophone. Like, what did you notice improvement as you got with the band and as you listened and had different influences and turned your mouthpiece up the regular side instead of upside down?
Esther, everybody, I think, I would not play the way I do if I had not been graced, my presence hadn't been graced with all these great, great older musicians that mm-hmm. took me under their wing. I learned how to play music by listening to other great musicians. I think anybody that winds up being a good musician has to be a good listener.
Absolutely.
You have to listen to your peers. You have to listen to what they're playing. You have to listen to what they're telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to put a lot of time and effort into it. You have to, you know, it's not something that you just wake up and do an hour or two a day. You know, when I was a young boy at 13 years old, I was burying myself in the saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I did. I got up in the morning, I stuck it in my mouth, and I kept it there all day long until I couldn't wait to go to a gig, and I couldn't wait to go see the older folks that I was working with, because very rarely did I work with the first garage band I played with. Even mm-hmm. those guys were 17 and 18 years old, and I was 13.
Okay.
And I always was able to play, and I guess they seen enough talent in me to want me to play with them. I mean, I hope they did. Or they might have just been desperate for a saxophone player, and there wasn't that many around. But thank God that I had the opportunity to work with great, great musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, the family that I think has been the most influence for me is the Thibodeau family from Rain mm-hmm. in the Lafayette area. Merton Thibodeau, Alton Thibodeau, Damaris Whitewing, who is a niece of theirs. Merton and Alton were the sons of Ambrose Thibodeau, the famous Cajun fiddle player.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole family was a huge influence on me. I can't thank them enough for all the time and effort and putting up with me. But they were very important in my life. I haven't seen Merton in years, but if he gets a chance to hear this, I love you, brother.
Yeah.
And I think about you all the time.
It's an important role is mentoring and encouraging the next generation of people to practice and mm-hmm. pick an instrument or pick up a paintbrush or go put on your ballet shoes or, you know, do something. Just go do it and practice. So we have another song queued up. Track 11, which...
Right, and that also features Parker James.
Okay.
And it's called Rainbow. They called it Rainbow 69 back when we did it, and
okay.
Back in 1969. But this was a song that Jerry LaCroix had sung with the Boogie Kings. And Jerry was with me with the Edgar Winter White Trash Band back mm-hmm. in the early 70s. And, of course, Parker James... took over his spot on this tune, and I thought he did a great job. And this is also off of the Walking the Dog album.
Okay, let's listen to Rainbow 69.
Oh, You got to listen to me. Oh, yeah. I'm down on my knees. Oh, yeah. I'm looking up above. Oh, baby, yes, I am. Asking you for one more chance, just the one more chance to prove to you I was wrong. I was so wrong, darling. Ooh. And I'm asking you, baby, and I'm asking you, baby, and I'm asking you, baby, and I'm asking you, baby.
Another fun one. Thanks for sharing that. So is somebody listening and thinking, man, you know, I've kind of looked at the saxophone, thought about it. I don't know what to do. What, give some sort of, like, what would you suggest? First steps, direction, what? Like, just kind of say something to encourage them to do it.
I didn't get the question. I'm sorry.
Somebody listening is thinking, you know, I thought about playing the saxophone. I'm kind of intrigued by it. It sounds really cool. Or I'm interested in music. I just don't know where to begin.
Boy. The music business is different today than it was when I was coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was coming up, there was a lot of live performances to be played, a lot of clubs to work in. I think it was easier to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Playing music. And this, you know, my opinion is you're not a professional musician unless you do it full time and nothing else.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of folks that call themselves musicians, but they have daytime jobs. They're not musicians. They don't do it for a living. They may be a musician.
Yeah.
But you really have to dive into it head first and put your whole heart and soul into it and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to put bread on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm speaking to a young audience and I'm speaking to young people, I made a mistake and devastated a kid one time. You know,
uh-oh.
I was working with Albert Collins. I was coming off the stage in Chicago, and a gentleman with his young boy, it was probably about 13 years old, the same age that I was when I started playing,
mm-hmm.
followed me back to the dressing room and says, John, he says, could you please give my son a few pointers on, he wants to play saxophone, he wants to get in the business. And I was trying to tell his father, I said, you know, the best thing you could do is tell his son to take the saxophone and go wrap it around a telephone pole, go to school, get an education, get a college degree. Because it's a tough business.
Mm-hmm.
I devastated the kid. So my message to everybody is, unless you're prepared as a young person to really, if you just want to be, you know, just play for the fun of it, I got no answers for you.
Just do
okay?
it. Yeah,
but if you really want to be a professional musician,
mm-hmm.
whether it's saxophone or whatever, you better be ready to pay the price. You better be ready to suffer, you better be ready to struggle. You better be ready to put a lot of hard work into it.
Yep.
And let me tell you, one out of every 1,000 musicians in this business, singers or what have you, it's not, you know, you got to be at the right place at the right time. You can be the greatest musician in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hidden out in the boonies somewhere, nobody ever knows you're there. So you got to get out. You got to leave like I did when I was a kid. You got to go to New York. You got to go to L.A. You got to go to Nashville. You got to go to the major markets if you want to be a professional musician and be on the world stage. If you want to be on a local stage, there's plenty of work to do that, and you can do that locally as well.
Yeah.
But, man, you really have to prepare yourself to struggle and to, you know, you might, if you're lucky, you'll make a good living.
Well,
if you're lucky.
We appreciate y'all being in here today. You've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at KRVS.org. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening, and have a wonderful afternoon.
This week in This American Life, like the rest of us, kids have a hard time talking about death. But sometimes they have to. They have to deal with it.
Who did you have die?
Two guinea pigs, a dog, two cats, and my dad.
Teaching kids to deal with loss, huge loss, this week.
Wednesday night at 7 on KRVS.
Hello, this is John Green, host of Night Train Jazz, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 for 2 hours of the very latest recorded jazz, as well as a sprinkling of oldies but goodies. That's Night Train, Tuesdays from 8 to 10 here on KRVS 88.7 FM in Lafayette and Lake Charles.